welcome to today's episode. Before we dive in, a quick shout out to our new sponsor, AGL Information and Technology. If you're serious about staying ahead in broadband, infrastructure, AI, and everything shaping the digital ecosystem, AGL Information and Technology is your go-to source. We're bringing you cutting-edge news, insights from industry leaders, and practical knowledge on the trends and tech transforming our world. Make sure to check out aglinfotech.com for your weekly dose of thought leadership and stay empowered in our fast-evolving digital landscape. Now let's get started.
Welcome to Closing the Digital Divide. I am so honored to be sitting here with my good friend David Zumwalt, who is CEO and President of WISPA. David, we heard some interesting comments coming from the keynote speech this morning. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little, well, first of all, tell us a little bit about you, who you are and what you do, and then tell us a little bit about what's going on with WISPA and the future of WISPA.
Okay. So I've been CEO, President CEO of WISPA since June of 2022, which was about a half a month after the BEAD NOFO dropped. So I'd already been in the process of beginning to start when I got a head start because of that May 13th BEAD NOFO. So it's been pretty much the BEAD show that's being here. But the main thing I would say is that I come out of the wireless communications industry. I've done this for most of my career and have seen a lot of things develop over that period of time. And I think that that has sort of created some experience in me that, you know, makes this, to me anyway, feel like a really good fit for my experience. And I'm very happy to be here. But, you know, the industry is changing. And it's not just WISPA, but it's everything that's related to broadband. For the very first time, I think we arguably have this notion that we might connect everybody. And if you think about that for a minute, we haven't had that before. We've talked about, well, broadband's nice to have, but people don't necessarily need to have it. COVID changed that, now everybody has to have it. But you still had these remote places that were never going to get it or never going to want it. But now the discussion is all around, we might actually be at a point someday when everybody is connected. And so once that connection is made, what's next for not only WISPs, but anyone in the service provider industry? Mm-hmm. And so those are the sorts of things that we're starting to think about in terms of, you know, what applications are coming down the pike, how will demand for broadband itself really change, how will that drive innovations in the economy, you know, all of that's kind of in the picture. So when we talk about the future, you know, what is WISPA's role in it, how can we continue to deliver value to our members and really to the industry? I know that's a mouthful, but that's kind of where it is.
So I remember just a few years back when I was having conversations about becoming a state coordinator, one of the things that I was advocating for was that future look. Mm-hmm. Because as BEAD rolls out and there's infrastructure built throughout the country, things start to look a little bit different at that point.
They do.
And one of the things that I've always said that we don't just have a broadband issue in specifically rural America, where I've spent most of my career, but we have a communications issue. And as we see mobility being expanded, IoT being expanded, what role do you see WISPA in that build out?
So if we look at this sort of history as an indication of where things might be going, WISPA has for a number of years had committees of members, of our members. Sometimes people are outside of the membership too that are active in trying to provide support and guidance to WISPA and to other organizations, including regulatory organizations. Policy committee, government affairs committee, state coordinator committee, we have several of these that are committees that the WISPA board has stood up specifically so we can study these issues. WISPA has three entities. We have the C6, the 501C6, which is the advocacy organization. And I won't go long on it, but I'll say we have a 501C3 as well, which is for charitable and educational purposes. And we also have a connected PAC, which is there to help amplify the voice of people who are associated with WISPA. I mention all of this in the context of committees because historically we've had a best practices committee and an education committee within WISPA. We're now moving them to the WISPA Educational Institute as we continue to bolster that. And we've created a new committee within WISPA Educational Institute that's called the Future Solutions Committee. Now, talking about committees, that sounds great. You know, everybody's got a committee maybe, but the whole purpose of this is to make sure that we're bringing all these voices into the room who can help lend their own expertise, including in specialized areas where they're already working. In some cases, we're actually, I think, leading the discussion. In other cases, we are taking advantage of others who are leading the discussion in areas like precision agriculture, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, this is something that's important to rural America, and WISPA has had, and our members have had, a major role in that for a while. We have committees or working groups of committees that have been looking at unique needs in rural expansion, or in what I would call special markets and deployments. You think about the needs in tribal communities, for example. Well, WISPA has an answer for that, and we're going to continue to get better at doing that. But it all starts with this notion that it's not just the staff sitting in a room dreaming stuff up because we occasionally talk to or frequently talk to people on Capitol Hill or wherever, but it's leveraging the fact that we've got many, many members who, by virtue of working in their communities, they know what the needs of the communities are, they see what is coming, and they're looking for ways that WISPA can help amplify their voices and, you know, meet future needs.
So I was part of a group last May that was had the pleasure of walking around Capitol Hill and talking to a few folks down there. WISPA is very big in the advocacy arena. Can you talk to us a little bit about some of the things that you guys are doing there?
So one of the messages I'd want to impart is that I think this was certainly true for me at some point in the past. You know, we think about our elected representatives as people who are there to serve us and our interests and needs as their constituents. But like every other thing that you do in business or in any kind of human interaction, it is a relationship that you really have to build. And the reality is our members don't necessarily have time to spend a lot of time developing relationships with their congressperson or the staff of the congressperson or the people who are in the regulatory agencies who are studying technology issues. You know, they're running their businesses. And so the key responsibility of the advocacy team of WISPA is to be the voice for the members in this industry and to develop and sustain those relationships, especially on Capitol Hill. But it doesn't just stop there, because policy is set by the White House. It's set by certainly the legislature, you know, the Congress, but also ultimately the agencies, the executive agencies that are have the task of making this happen. Department of Commerce, NTIA, we just talked about BEAD, that's huge. We talk about the FCC, and then we can go into U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Rural Utilities Service Program, and I could go on and on. So how are you going to do that as an individual if you're trying to interact with decision makers in the public sector? And I should pause for a second and just say something that I think is important to some of our members, because I get this a lot. You know, we've got probably about half of our members say, why do we even need to have this conversation with the federal government? We're doing just fine out here on our own. We don't really think we need any kind of government support or subsidy. And that may be true. But the reality is, once broadband went from being a nice to have to being a national priority, and now it's been established that the federal government wants to see connectivity brought to all, there is no amount of discussion about whether it merits a certain subsidy program or not that's going to stop the fact that the federal government in particular believes that this is so important that they're going to be pushing a lot of resources to make it happen. So it's vitally important, whether you want to participate in the subsidy program or not, that your voice is represented, certainly in Washington, D.C. So our argument is not so much to be participating in all of the subsidy programs. It's just to make sure that the subsidy programs are designed in a way that our members can participate if they want to participate.
So WISPA has been evolving over the last few years. We're seeing more other technologies into into becoming a part of WISPA. We talk about using all of the tools in the toolbox. Talk to us a little bit about WISPA's position on using all of the tools in order to get connectivity throughout.
So if you look at our industry, just take a typical WISP, for example. I like to think of the wireless aspect of a WISP as being usually, it's usually what you see in the last mile or the last point that's connecting to the end customer, whether that's residential or business or whatever it is. But if you come kind of upstream in a WISP network, you're going to see licensed, unlicensed, point-to-point. You're going to see fiber. Sometimes you'll see cable. You're going to see all sorts of technologies that are being brought to bear. And this is in spite of the fact that the entity is calling itself a WISP. So when you look at the actual service provider model in terms of the technologies that they're deploying the technology that's going to best meet their need. If they can get kind of the right service from a fiber provider, they're going to use that. If they're going to do it through some other means, including now increasingly we're seeing free space optics, optical systems come into it. There's a lot that's happening there. And so do we want to be an association that silos itself and says the only thing we care about is this portion at the end that happens to be delivered wirelessly? Or do we look at the reality that the service providers are already incorporating all of it? If we're going to add value or demonstrate value to our members, shouldn't we be saying something about that? Shouldn't we make sure that we are making a home for example, the vendor community or the distributor communities who are able to serve the needs of those service providers? So that's the reason why you will hear from us, right tool for the right job, because that's the reality of what people are doing. That's the reality of, I think, where it's going to go. And I would be very surprised if we ever see a totally siloed technology solution. Like, the only thing you're doing is pure fiber end-to-end, and it only goes wireless when you reach the router in the home or something. I just don't know. I think it's better to recognize that if you're going to meet needs in the most efficient way, you've got to make sure that the service provider has access to all of it.
So I want to go back just a little bit on the future.
Yeah.
How is WISPA preparing its members to partake in the eventual upcoming IoT boom, which I personally believe is going to be, it's going to dwarf kind of what's going on now? Because if you look at what's happening in Europe and how they are just embracing IoT, what are your thoughts on that?
So this is a conversation that could go for a long, long time, but I'll give you a couple of examples that you could think of. Let's go back to precision agriculture, for example. In a lot of rural areas, the solution to enable precision agriculture involves some sort of wireless delivery. You're not going to be dragging a fiber around the field.
You're not going to connect them to cows as they're...
Right. But what you do have to keep in mind is that it's not just the connectivity, because you'll find that major vendors of, for example, field equipment, farm field equipment, John Deere, for example, they have their own ideas about the way precision agriculture could work and should work. And so in many cases, they're trying to create their own sort of walled gardens for applications and things of this sort. Because they're also looking for a way to deliver value to, you know, the people who buy their equipment. So when we look at, you're talking about a different type of IoT, but when we look at the applications that are going to be using some sort of broadband technology, we've got to be aware of what that means, you know, for our members. And, you know, right now, I think many of our members look at fixed wireless in a traditional way. Meanwhile, right alongside us, we have the traditional mobility operators who are saying, you know, this internet stuff over fixed wireless is pretty cool. We think we can add a bunch of subscribers, and they are. And so while they're using a slightly different sort of technology to do it, it's all about reaching the same customers or new customers with new applications. So making sure that our members are aware that we're not just occupying one lane here, one approach for being able to meet the needs of endpoint users. And that creates all sorts of opportunities, because There are opportunities for shared infrastructure. There's opportunities for collaboration. Mm-hmm. This might be buy-sell transactions between operators. I mean, who knows? All of that is kind of on the table. But if our members are willing to be armed with the knowledge that they need to be able to have sort of the best outcome for whatever future they're planning for themselves or they intend to achieve, it has to be started with education about what's out there and where these different paths are going. So I covered a lot of ground there too, but coming back to IoT, that's what I mean about future solutions in terms mm-hmm. of applications. It's not just going to be measured in terms of upload download speeds anymore.
Right.
It's going to be instead measured by what are you doing with that connectivity and what is critical for your business or for your home or whatever. And I don't think we're just stopping at security cameras, for example.
Right. So does that tie in any way into the education piece that you guys talked about a little bit earlier?
Yeah, so one of the things that I think is really cool about our industry is that we have a lot of several associations that we partner with where we can, and they're each kind of looking at this too. And so you'll find associations that have created certification programs for certain skill sets or have partnered with the Department of Labor to make sure that grant programs can be streamlined. So this is not a situation where WISPA is looking to reinvent the wheel. But if you go back and look at the 20-year history of WISPA, you'll see that we have an arsenal of content that has been created over time. But it's been created in a way and made available in a way that hasn't really been accessible. And I'm not saying that all of that is up to date, but there's a lot of it that's out there. And so we're looking at, okay, how can we make sure that our members can see and access that to be able to have a sort of a faster response to the information that they need, whether it's educating their workforce or dealing with an issue that they have that's unique to their business, because we've got so much of that that's already out there. So part of it is organizing that so that it's accessible. One other thing that I would mention here is that over the last few years, we've been very purposeful about producing content, white papers, economic analysis. You know a lot of this. But historically, a lot of that has been placed in the members area of our main website. And so you have to be a member to be able to access it. And we want the WISPA Educational Institute to take some of that and make that more broadly available, because it speaks to decision makers in legislatures or in regulatory agencies. And so we think that that's so credible because it stood the test of time. So these are the sorts of things that we're doing. It's not creating something out of whole cloth. We want to play nice with the other associations that are doing things that matter too. And over the next 6 months to a year, you'll see a lot of this come to fruition in the WISPA Educational Institute.
Well, I can think of one really new digital platform that would love to host some of that. we're not mentioning any names right now, cheap plug. So it looks like I'm glad to hear that WISPA is kind of taking that step forward and looking beyond where we are today. I don't think that was always the case.
I can't speak to the past because I wasn't here for it, but I like to look at the opportunity that I have here at WISPA is standing on the shoulder of giants. The only reason I'm here is because many other people made it possible for me to be here. And so, my task is to figure out, how I can contribute to that mission as long as I am serving here. And so I think, in terms of where we go from here, our internal staff has heard me say this a lot. I am violently opposed to rinse and repeat. I don't like doing anything that in the pattern that we're just going to do it again this way, because it's always worked, in the past. Because if there's anything we've learned about broadband, anything we've learned about our industry, it's always changing. We're never going to get to a point to where this is finished. Even when we achieve full connectivity, there's still more coming. It's always going to be coming, because this is kind of at the heart of the innovation of our economy and really of the world.
Well, David, I want to thank you for taking a little time with us to chat and enlighten us on what's going on with us. But I want to take just just a minute, because you touched on something there. Okay. That you stand on the shoulder of giants. There was a tribute early this morning to some of those giants. Can you share with our audience a little bit about that? Because I think it's important to know kind of where this industry and WISPA has come from. Because, you know, the general, I would say general community don't have an idea of the innovation and the challenges and the sometimes heartache that it took to get us to this point. Can you just take a moment and share a little bit about
Okay, so John Scrivener is really considered one of the founders, if not the founders, of WISPA. And he happens to be going through some medical challenges right now, but he's just been a pure force of will. So he was always finding a way to corral resources to get people to understand what the need was. And I think he was very instrumental in starting WISPA down the path of advocacy, understanding the importance of, you know, doing that. And so it took a while for all of that to come together, because initially nobody knew who WISPA was.
What it was.
And so there was a lot of, you know, explaining to do, definitions to build, you know, things of that sort. But just sort of the sheer intensity of who Scrivener has been moved things really, really forward for WISPA. And, you know, he's not the kind of guy who would necessarily look great in a suit, you know, sort of white shoe sort of anyway. He is the sort of guy who just goes and I think knows how to throw elbows when they need to be thrown, but is also gentle and has found a way to get it done. I see all this not so much in tribute, but when you think about an organization and you see like WISPAPALOOZA, where we're here now and there are thousands of people here, you can become very comfortable with the idea that it's just always been this way.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And rinse and repeat did not get us here, you know, because we didn't rinse and repeat in Scrivener's day, and we haven't been doing it really since, and we don't want to do it. So the notion is, let's not get comfortable with, you know, anything that we've either achieved or that we think we've done to, you know, complete a task or whatever, because there's still more to come.
Before we wrap up today's episode, let's talk a little bit about our new sponsor, AGL Information and Technology. If you're passionate about broadband, tech innovation, infrastructure, and how federal programs are reshaping the digital landscape, AGL Information and Technology is your essential resource. Each week, AGL InfoTech brings you deep insights, timely news, and expert perspective on the front lines of digital transformation. Explore the latest articles on broadband advancements, AI applications, and strategies for navigating the evolving tech ecosystem. All with one goal, empowering you with knowledge. Ready to stay informed and inspired? Visit aglinfotech.com and be part of the conversation that's shaping the future.
David, my friend, I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I know this has been a busy week for you, and I don't want to hold you too much longer. But,
no, I'll look forward to a couple of days off, maybe one week on the other side of this. But thank you very much for the invitation. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Look forward to doing this again.
We'll do
very
it.
Very soon. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Have a good show.
Thanks.